Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. I don't know about you, but today my eyes are running and my nose is running, and I'm not at the top of my game. And the reason is I have allergies. And I know you may be, as you listen to the program, you may be suffering with some allergies as well. What about your pets? We're going to talk about your pets and allergies with your pets, natural alternatives for pet allergies, and certainly we'll talk about other health issues relating to your dogs or your cats as well with our guest for today. Dr. Carrie Donahue has been with us a number of times. She is the owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison, and she's done a wonderful job. I'm not sure that I mentioned this before, but we have a Best of Madison Awards every year, and she was the 2014 winner in the veterinary category. And congratulations!
Thank you so much.
It's wonderful to have you back. And as you can see, I'm in, you know, tears are running down.
Oh my goodness! Oh.
And do we see that in pets as well? Do you see it?
I see so much of that in pets. The runny, the watery eyes, the scratching at the face, scratching all over the body, chewing at the feet, all of that stuff. That's what I'm seeing so much of right now. Over the last month or so, it's been really, really tough.
Is it the same? Well, what is it for? Let's take dogs first. Typically, what are they allergic to and what are they responding to this time of year?
Oh, boy, you know, it's so hard to say. There is something that's out there, or there are a number of things that are out there in the air, the pollens, the grasses, things in the environment. And sometimes it's hard to really figure out exactly what it is. And that's the hardest thing.
Oh.
You know, some things that you just have no control over that your dog is coming into contact with just by walking outside.
And the same for cats?
Same for cats. Not so much as much as dogs. Cats a lot of times will develop allergies more to things that are inside the house, especially cats that are pretty much indoor only. Things that might be in the carpet or in certain types of cleaners, but certainly they can also have the watery eyes and reactions to things that are outside as well.
So those are the typical symptoms you're going to get for your cat or dog. Watery eyes, itchy.
Yes, definitely. Itchiness, scratching, that's probably the biggest manifestation that I see of allergies in pets.
Is it, you said it's really difficult to pinpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Is it critical to be able to pinpoint if you're going to treat?
Well, not always. I mean, there are different ways that you can approach allergies or approach a dog that it's really scratching like crazy. And sometimes just controlling the symptoms without knowing exactly what is causing the reaction. And oftentimes, like I said, you know, it can be a number of different things that you just don't know. So controlling the symptoms is a big part of it.
Well, we have already questions from people whose dogs, so far dogs, are suffering, I think, from allergies. The number to call for you to join in with your question is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page. Just go to The Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And if you've got a photo of your pet, that would be a great place to put that photo as well. We always like to see the photos on the Facebook page. So please go ahead with that. And should we take a call? Let's see what's on people's minds. Denise in Kenosha, you're first. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thank you so much for having this guest on. I mean, our pets are part of the family, so I appreciate being able to talk to the doctor. I have a Shar-Pei Beagle mix, and in her hindquarters, right on the edge of her thigh, she loses her hair. And I took her to the doctor just to make sure it wasn't parasites or mites, and they said that it was probably an allergy, but couldn't determine if it was an internal allergy to food or an external allergy to something she might come in contact with.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, it's cleared up, and then it comes back again. So I guess my question would be, is there a way to figure out if it's the food or the environment? And secondly, if you have the dry skin, do dogs have lotions or anything that can make can soothe their itchiness?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So your first question was determining what the dog might be potentially having a reaction to, whether it's food or whether it's something in the environment. And there are some great tests that you can do. There is a food allergy test, and the one that I use most often is called NutriScan test, and it's done by a company out in California that's run by a veterinarian by the name of Dr. Jean Dodds, and she is just a wonderful holistic vet, and she's developed this food allergy test. So you take a sample of your pet's saliva, you send it into the lab, and they can analyze that and determine if they're, if your dog or cat does have any food hypersensitivities or allergies. So that might be something to consider. Environmental allergy testing is typically done through either a blood test or through skin testing, where they actually inject small amounts of allergens into the pet's skin and see what they might have a reaction to. So those might be two things to consider to help determine what it might be. A lot of times if an animal does have a food allergy, you will see signs more like GI tract signs, so some vomiting, maybe some diarrhea, or really scratching and itching around the face. They might have the watery, runny eyes. They might be rubbing their face on the carpet or just scratching around their mouth. That's a big sign of food allergies. Typically, if you're seeing, you know, that your pet is itching on its abdomen or on its belly or on its legs or around its feet, that's more of a sign of an environmental allergy.
You'd think if it was a food allergy, it wouldn't come and go, if you, assuming you were using the same food.
Exactly, exactly.
So it sounds like it was coming and going.
Right.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate the information on the test for the food allergy.
Oh, yes. Good luck. And then you also had the question about, is there anything that you can put on that's very soothing for the skin? Yeah. And there are some wonderful ointments and salves that you can use. Quite often, I will use an herbal salve, something that's made with calendula. And a calendula salve is wonderfully soothing for the skin. You can also get something that has some chamomile in it. Those are some great herbs that can help soothe.
Great. Thank you so much. Yeah. I appreciate your assistance.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And Eric in Milwaukee will turn to you next. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Thank you. I think you've actually maybe kind of answered my question already. I also have an itchy dog.
Oh, okay.
She's a French and American bulldog mix, and she seems to be kind of itchy all over.
Mm-hmm.
She does rub her face on the couch and on the sofa a lot, but it doesn't seem just her face is itchy. It seems like she's itchy everywhere.
Oh, okay. So a lot of times you can't, sometimes the food allergies and the environmental allergies can go hand in hand.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so you can see a little bit of both. And that's another reason why sometimes it's hard to determine exactly what you're treating. So kind of controlling the symptoms. But one thing that I really encourage owners to do if they have a dog or a cat that's itchy at all is to really examine what type of food the pet is getting. A lot of times, just making a food switch to maybe a different type of protein, eliminating any grains in the diet that can be inflammatory, can make a big difference for pets that are itchy.
Okay. Yeah, they are, I don't know, they're on a Nutro.
Okay.
So the grain-free, and actually they were on a, I forget, but it was lamb and rice, I think, that was like supposed to be a skin, like skin and coat food.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have any specific input on foods themselves.
Boy, well, my recommendation is always to get your pet on the highest quality, the freshest food that you possibly can. So a lot of times re-examining if you are feeding a kibble or a dry food and considering moving to either homemade food or a dehydrated, freeze-dried, or frozen raw food, something that doesn't, that hasn't been commercially processed, something that doesn't have the preservatives in it like a lot of the kibbles do, because some animals can have reactions to those things that are added into the commercial foods too. So maybe even considering moving towards more of a fresher food diet.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Something else to consider, Eric. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Tony in New Holstein, hi.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hi,
great, thanks
good.
For calling.
Thank you. My question is, I have a one-year-old bloodhound, and it seems that when the weather turns more humid, he gets these red lesions on his underside and in his pelvic region and on his belly. Mm-hmm. And when I take him to the vet, they prescribe him cephalexin. And this works, but it only works for about a month. And inevitably, the humidity comes back, and he gets these sores, these lesions. They keep coming back. And it's only when it's humid out. And I was wondering if there was preventative measures I could take and or something else besides the cephalexin, and it's a little more holistic that I could be giving them. And I'll take my answer off here. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks.
Okay, thank you. So the cephalexin is an antibiotic, and the antibiotic is going to treat any superficial bacterial infection that might be there that's causing that redness. What I would tend to do would be go a little bit deeper and try to figure out why your pet is getting those red lesions. And it almost sounds to me like if it's coming and going and it's associated with the weather and the humidity, that might be the sign of an allergy too, that there's something mm-hmm. out there that's causing that irritation. And then what can happen is your pet is scratching, can kind of make some abrasions in the skin, and those can get easily infected with the bacteria that might be normally on the skin starts to proliferate, and that's why it responds to the antibiotics and gets better, but it's not a long-term cure. So again, I would maybe try to figure out, well, what might be out in the environment? Is there anything that you can do to control what your pet is exposed to? And really a big part of controlling environmental allergies too is topical washing, wiping your pet down after it comes in from being outside, getting any allergens off of the skin that might be irritating, and really maybe taking a look at what your pet is lying on. That if it's coming up with red lesions on its abdomen, it might be something on the pet bed, maybe a laundry detergent that you're using that your pet is being exposed to, that in the humidity just causes, you know, it really to soak in and cause the irritation. So looking at all of those things and really trying to maybe bathe your pet a little bit more frequently to wipe off anything that might be there.
Thank you again for calling. I appreciate your call. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show. Post your question and a nice photo of your pet there. We would certainly love to hear from you. I'm Larry Mealer. Jason Butler, our on-air producer, our guest today, Dr. Carrie Donahue, on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at your pet's health today, we're talking about natural alternatives for pet allergies and natural alternatives for other types of ailments that your dog or your cat may have with our guest today, Dr. Carrie Donahue, who is owner and founder of Full Circle Veterinary Clinic. And we have a link on my Facebook page to her clinic. You can go to the Larry Mealer Show Facebook page for that. But you also, I mean, just what's the address for your page?
Oh, my website is fullcirclepet.com.
Okay, so fullcirclepet.com, and you're going to find quite a bit of information on there.
Yeah, so it kind of goes into detail about the different things that I do, the different services that I offer, like acupuncture, herbal medicine. I also do conventional veterinary medicine, surgeries, things like that. So it's got information for all of those.
Yeah, and so you're doing surgeries as well.
Yes, I am. I do a lot of, well, I work with a local rescue in Madison, Underdog Pet Rescue. So I'm the veterinarian for them, and I do mm-hmm. a lot of spay and neuter surgeries for the rescue animals that come in. And then on my own patients as well, I do dentals, mass removal, some of those basics.
Kathy in Portage has a question for you. So let's turn to her. Kathy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi.
Hi.
Getting back. Hi. I have a cat. I actually took him in at a farm mm-hmm. and in the middle of last year's horrible winter, mm-hmm. and he was pretty hungry and starving, but he's had this like eye infection. I took him to the vet and they gave me this little tube, you know, that I put in his eyes every day, you know, and that hasn't worked. And mm-hmm. his eyes are bleeding.
Oh,
and
goodness.
They're infected.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't seem to get rid of it. I've flushed them out, you know, you know, like three times a day and put that stuff in there, and nothing seems to work. I even tried, I looked on the internet, and a lot of people were talking about this L-lysine, mm-hmm. you know, and so I ground up some pills of that, and I put it in their wet food, and he still got it, and okay. I just can't seem to get rid of it.
So what do you think, Dr. Carey?
Boy, some cats really, if they're affected while they're kittens with an upper respiratory infection, it can oftentimes stay with them throughout life. So it might be for this cat, it might be just an issue of managing the symptoms and keeping on top of any infection. Now, upper respiratory infections in cats can be bacterial or they can be viral. So sometimes you have to take a multifaceted approach to treatment. So it sounds like you had that antibacterial ointment or drops that you were treating the eyes with, but it wasn't enough. So you also might have to treat any viral component as well. And you mentioned the lysine, and lysine is wonderful for cats because if there is any virus that's there, a lot of cats have herpes viruses that they just live with, and in controlling the symptoms, the lysine stops the replication of the herpes virus. So I would do the lysine. It helps to support the immune system for your cat, and then I would also treat if you're seeing any discharge that's yellow or cloudy, then using a bacterial ointment, kind of the both of those together. And really, if you can get your cat on the highest quality of food that you possibly can, that can also make a difference, just kind of keeping the immune system as strong as possible so the cat has the best chance to fight it off as well as it can by itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is there a certain amount of the L-lysine that I should give them, or?
Mm-hmm. Yep, for a cat that is having a flare-up of symptoms, like it sounds like your cat is, 500 milligrams of the lysine twice a day is a typical amount to give. And kind of a maintenance amount for a cat would be 250 milligrams of lysine twice a day.
Okay. All right, there's one other question. I have another cat. Now, can he get that? What the other cat has?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it can be contagious. A lot of times with the herpes virus, that is one thing that is individual to each cat. It's not typically passed very easily, but the bacterial infection could be. So it would benefit both cats to get the lysine.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's what I did.
Okay.
Yep.
But it was a really high dosage. That's why I'm wondering. I think it's 1,200 milligrams or something. But
oh,
I split
okay.
it in half between the two of them.
Okay, that sounds perfect.
Know.
Yep, and that's it. You know, like with a lot of these natural products, it's very, very safe to give at higher doses. If you are giving the 1,200 milligrams, the body is just going to flush it out, and it's not going to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's like a water-soluble thing, pretty much, right?
Right, yeah. So you're safe to give a higher amount than that. Your cat just doesn't need that much, but it's okay.
Okay. So I should continue with the lysine, and mm-hmm. and what about the bacterial or viral? What should I give them for that? Just better food?
Better food, and maybe talking with your vet about doing an oral antibiotic instead of the topical right in the eye. You might need to treat it more from the inside out with an oral antibiotic.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm writing this down here. Oral. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, sure. Good luck.
I've been struggling with this.
Yeah.
And so I thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
You're entirely welcome, Kathy. Thanks a lot for calling. I hope this really helps your kitty.
Mm-hmm.
Albert in Milwaukee has another interesting question, so let's go there. Hi, Albert.
Hi. Thank you for taking me on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just puzzled. Do animals in the wild or in poor countries, are they plagued with the same allergies and diseases that our so-called modern, pampered animals are? I mean, we don't know if it takes their dog to McDonald's or drinking Pepsi or eating candy bars. So where's all this coming from?
Yeah.
Right? That's a very good question. Where are all of the allergies coming from, and why are our pets reacting so much to that? to the pollens that are out in the environment. And the same could be said for humans, too. Why are we developing so many allergies? And it's not an easy question to answer. Is it, you know, the food that we're eating and the food that we're feeding our pets? Or is it, you know, all of the toxins that are out there and the pesticides that we use? And animals in the wild, as far as I know, are not plagued with allergies like our domesticated pets are. They, you know, they have more issues with things like parasites that we can easily, much easier control in our own pets. So it's a very good question, and that's why I really encourage people to take a look at the food that we're feeding our animals and try to feed them more like what an animal would eat in the wild. So the more mm-hmm. natural, the fresher the food, the better.
What about foods for dogs? What's a recommended diet for food? What's a good food for dogs? I mean, there's so many varieties out there that mm-hmm. say this and that and the other.
Right.
Yeah. So you're recommending a fresh...
fresh food diet. Yeah. So, and that could be either a homemade diet, and some people are willing to cook for their pets. It's not very complicated to do. You know, if you cook for yourself, it's entirely possible to also cook for your own pet, and they would be getting the fresh food. Or there are a lot of commercially prepared raw foods that are out there that are very beneficial. I feed my own dog a dehydrated raw food that I add water to every day, and she just loves it, and her skin is great. I feel that she's as healthy as she can possibly be because she gets that fresh food, something that's not been commercially processed, like the kibble that's out there and a lot of the canned foods as well.
Well, thank you very much.
No, thanks very much for calling. I appreciate it. So a dehydrated, and that I would think that would be in some ways safer maybe than just raw food.
Right, exactly. Things that have been pasteurized. So yeah. There is a wonderful company in Wisconsin that's called Stella and Chewy's, and they do raw food, but the food goes through a pasteurization process, so you don't run the risk of the bacterial contamination like salmonella, you know, that could potentially be passed from animals to humans if you are preparing raw food for your own pet.
Chris in Bayside, hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, I recently, like 6 weeks ago, had a commercial closet company build in a home office, and I guess I wasn't giving it a lot of thought. Manufactured wood that we, you know, have a lot of products in our houses has formaldehyde in it. And I was sensitive to it right away. My husband and my son weren't. In fact, they're in that home office all the time. You know, happy as clams, doesn't bother them. I have three dogs and a cat, and none of them are exhibiting any, you know, respiratory problems or anything, but one of my dogs, a pug, ever since the office was installed, is dropping like little tufts of hair, which has never happened, and he's 14. And I'm just wondering if he's reacting to that formaldehyde. I mean, I don't know if there are studies about VOCs and pets I don't know. I'm thinking of having the whole office ripped out. Mm-hmm. But what do you think? Do you think that could be an allergic reaction on my pug's part?
You know, it's certainly possible that your dog could be having a reaction to something that, you know, is... that came with right, exactly. So have you tried giving your dog any treatments, any antihistamines? Does it seem like he's itching or scratching at all, or is the hair just coming out?
No, it's just like little tufts. You know, I find about 12 of them a day around the house. He's not hanging out in the office.
Okay.
But, you know, it's not like he's, you know, rubbing up against anything, but I do, you know, I think that the gas off from the formaldehyde is, you know, probably throughout the house.
Yeah, it's likely.
Yeah, boy, that's a tough one. And this might be something where, you know, you rule out some other things that could potentially be causing the hair loss. And if you're not getting any response with those things, that you could take your pet into the vet and do some of the diagnostics that we do to rule in or out an allergic reaction, skin scraping to rule out any parasites or any mites, checking for fleas, you know, checking for all of those other things, any infection that might be going on. And if you're not getting responses with those, then maybe looking at if it is a reaction to the formaldehyde.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something to think about. Good luck, Chris. Thank you for calling. I hope things work out for you and for your pet, obviously. I want to give Mary and Lyndon Station a chance to join in, too. Mary, hi to you. Thanks for calling.
Yes, and thank you, Doctor, for the time and taking my call.
Hmm.
The question I have is, I have a cat, and it's allergic to lamb, rabbit, and dairy products.
Okay.
And what will happen, she will get something on her chin, and it really itches her. And you had mentioned a chamomile salve. Mm-hmm. Is that something we can make in the home, or is that something that you sell, or different products that you have there that we could purchase?
Boy, that's something that you really could easily make yourself, and there are so many recipes. If you just Google, you know, chamomile salve or a calendula salve, and you can make your own. If you get the chamomile, you can get the flowers and make your own tincture and then add some beeswax and some vitamin E and kind of make your own salve, or you can easily find it really at any sort of health food store. I have some in my clinic that I use, so you can always call up the clinic and ask for some recommendations on that as well and pick those up.
Mm-hmm. Good. And Doctor, I apologize. I know the one is chamomile, but could you spell the name of the other that you're pronouncing?
Oh, calendula. It's CALENDULA. And calendula is the name, Latin name for marigold. So that's what it is. It's marigold or calendula.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
thanks a lot for calling, Mary. Appreciate it. And Dave in Caledonia, I also almost said in calendula, Caledonia, it's your turn. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks for answering the questions today.
Yeah.
What I have, we have a six-year-old blue heeler, and about 3 years ago, our local vet diagnosed her having bacon eye.
Bacon eye. I am not familiar with bacon eye.
Well, what the vet said was that she must have got into some grease, and sometimes if dogs get into grease, it is like a fatty deposit on the eye that leaves like a white haze spot. And sometimes it goes away, and sometimes it doesn't.
Okay.
So I was curious to see if that was something you've heard of or any remedies for it. That really didn't have any either, and he had to do a lot of digging to find something. It didn't look like there was any corneal scratches or that the eye was physically damaged. But.
Oh, okay. And is your dog still able to see pretty well despite having those deposits?
Yeah, she seems to be just fine. She goes out in the woods with us when we just get stuff ready for deer hunting, and she doesn't seem to have any issues. She can chase squirrels and harass our goats, so she seems pretty happy. I mean, there's
okay, that's good. So it doesn't seem like it's really bothering her, and she's not scratching at her eye or it's not watering especially. It's just affecting one eye or both?
It's actually in both eyes.
Okay.
The one is, her left eye is, it's almost like in the center of her eye, and the one on the right is more towards the inside.
Oh, okay. So I have seen dogs that do have those lipid or those fatty deposits on the cornea. Now, I haven't seen it associated with animals eating a lot of grease, so that is interesting, and I certainly, you know, it's definitely a possibility. Boy, as far as treatment goes, I'm not sure that I would be able to recommend anything specifically that would clear that up besides just making sure that, you know, if it is turning into any infection or if it is seeming to bother your dog, that you do treat it. One one eye treatment that I use quite a bit. It's an enzyme-based treatment. It's called Vetricin, and it's V-E-T-E-R-I-C-Y-N, Vetricin. And you can get that over the counter. It's an enzyme-based treatment for eyes. Any irritation, any watering, any infection, any fungus there, it really does help. So that might be something to try if you're looking for something to do. I don't know if that helps or not, but that might be something.
I was just wondering if it would help for me.
I know. I was going to say you could try it yourself.
Oh, my goodness. Good luck, Dave. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Jocelyn in Sheboygan has a question for you, so let's go to her. Jocelyn, hi.
Hi. I was wondering, I have a couple questions, but I have a kitty. He's about 6 years old, and he's allergic to flea bites, and he has that dermatitis. And one of the, you know, all those remedies that they have for flea treatment, they say to keep using it every month. And I'm wondering, you know, just logically thinking that these fleas are becoming immune like the bugs out in, you know, out in the field where they put all the pesticides on our food. And to me, it sounds logical and very plausible that that's happening because they just keep coming back. You know, I have carpeting in the house, and, I mean, the fleas, it seems like this year they're going nuts. You know, I have several cats, and they all have the fleas, but my one is the one where he has that dermatitis, so he, you know, he pulls out his fur and all that, and I treat him with the, but if he gets bitten just once, that's what my veterinarian said, that's enough to get him to do the same, you know, the itching and everything. And the other question I had was, where would you find the recipes to make natural food where I could cook it for the cats and the dogs, you know? Because I've never really seen anything. And then I know that cats need taurine in their diet, so how would I find recipes like that? But right now I'm really concerned about the, how it keeps coming back. He has a good appetite.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's another thing that animals very commonly can have allergies to. It's the saliva from the fleas that their immune system can just go into this over and hyper reactive state. And one flea bite might be all that it takes to just send your dog or your cat into just an itching frenzy. So a lot of times, sometimes you know, we have to do immune system suppressants just to get that under control. But you are very, very correct in that using the same type of product every single month, year round, the parasites that are out there can develop resistance, and they are developing resistance to the flea and tick products as well as to the heartworm products that we're using every single month. So my recommendation is to use those products, kind of change them out, not to use them all year round, to give your animal a break in the winter so they're not getting them every single month. And then your question about where to find recipes for homemade diets. There are some wonderful books out there that really go into a lot of detail on what the best type of foods to feed your cats and the best type of foods to feed your dogs and what types of vitamins, minerals that they need. Cats definitely need the taurine supplementation if you are going to be making your own homemade diet for your cat. So one of the best books that is out there is by Dr. Karen Becker, and it's called Real Food for Healthy Dogs and Cats. It's got some great recipes in there. Another book that I really swear by and I go to constantly is called Home Prepared Dog and Cat Diets. And I can't remember the name of the author of that. I believe his name is Strombeck, Dr. Strombeck.
The title was Home Prepared
Dog and Cat Diets.
We'll try and get that up on my Facebook page.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Good luck.
So there we go.
Thanks, I need it.
And Jason Butler will try and find what is it again? Home prepared dog
and cat diets.
And cat diets.
And the other one is Real Food for Healthy Dogs and Cats by Dr. Karen Becker.
Karen Becker, okay. All right.
Both great resources.
All right. We have open lines. Our guest today, Dr. Carrie Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. She works her offices in Madison, like a new office, as a matter of fact.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Down the street, not far away, but just a bigger area for you to do a lot more.
Yes, definitely. A much bigger space, so I have a lot more room. And I share it with Underdog Pet Rescue, so we always have animals that are up for adoption there as well. So, yes, if anybody is in Madison, please stop by.
And you're on?
The address is 231 South Fair Oaks Avenue. It's on the corner of Fair Oaks and Atwood Avenue in Madison.
Cesar in Milwaukee has a question. By the way, you can join in, too. We've got open lines to get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Cesar, thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a one-year-old Labradoodle that he goes everywhere with me, and I'm going to Mexico in December, and I was wondering if you have any suggestions of what to do, what not to do. Maybe is there restrictions, anything that I need to know that you can give me so he can have a safe trip? Is take him in a plane the best idea? I've heard some bad stories, so any information you can give me on that, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, you just want to make sure that your dog is up to date on all the vaccines, and he will have to have a health certificate from a veterinarian before you go. I believe it's within 10 days of travel, a visit to a vet to make sure that all the vaccines are up to date and your dog is not showing any signs of infectious disease. Travel in the airplane is typically safe as long as you're not going in the heat of the summer or in the cold of the winter, where if your animal is in the cargo area of the plane, it can get really hot or it can get really cold. So making sure that, you know, you're going at a time of year when mm-hmm. you're not going to be exposing your pet to some of those extreme temperatures. Otherwise, if you're able to maybe make the trip in a car or drive down there, that might be a little bit better if you're able to and your animal handles the car ride well.
And so, and you need that in order to get the dog back into the mm-hmm. States, you need to have that certificate.
The health certificate, right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling. Dan in Partyville, your turn. Hi. Sorry. Let's see if I can get him on here. Hi, Dan. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a German Shepherd Yellow Lab mix, and he's allergic to grass and dust and dirt. And, of course, he lays out in the dust and grass and dirt.
Mm-hmm.
We do wash his belly, but he just itches all the time.
Oh.
I've been reading online that either natural apple cider vinegar or organic cider vinegar mixed one part vinegar to three parts water as a spray or a rub can really help get rid of the itching. Is that true, and what do you think about that?
Boy, it certainly can be true. Have you tried that yet or not?
No, not yet. I just
okay.
found it last night online. And,
oh, perfect.
So this is a perfect time for you to be on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love apple cider vinegar. Using that is a great thing. And you can add that into the water so your pet takes it internally. And you can also use it topically. And typically, yeah, I would say I usually use one half vinegar, one half water.
Oh, okay.
It really depends. If your pet's skin is really red and irritated, the vinegar might cause, you know, it might just cause some stinging. So then I would tend to go more dilute.
Well, it's hard to tell if his belly's red or not. He licks it so much it's discolored because of the saliva.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not sure.
Yeah, so and you would know right away. If you spray some on, if you'd make maybe a half and half mixture and you spray some on and it's and he doesn't like it, then I would go more dilute. And the vinegar, what's that? Sorry.
Should I use the natural vinegar or organic? Not right off the shelf that's been filtered.
Right. I would use the unfiltered just because it's got the good bacteria in there as well that can really help. But apple cider vinegar is great for any yeast infections.
Okay.
And if you give it internally, it really kind of helps to balance the pH level of the body and so can help from the inside out as well.
Mm-hmm. Can you put too much in the water? What would you recommend?
We have two dogs
and they'll be drinking the same water.
Oh, okay. And what I've found is that dogs really don't mind the taste of it.
Oh.
I would start out doing 1 teaspoon of apple cider vinegar to 1 to 2 cups of water.
Okay.
And just see, and, you know, yeah, a lot of dogs just kind of like the variety. It tastes a little bit different, mm-hmm. so it's easy enough to give.
Okay.
And if it's too much, you could always go down and do half of a teaspoon.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much for calling. Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest today, owner and founder of Full Circle Veterinary Care in Madison. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking with Dr. Carrie Donahue about holistic treatments for your pet. And we've zeroed in a bit on allergies, but certainly covering other areas as well. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a photo, question, or comment there. And let's turn to Deb in Minocqua next. Deb, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I've got a 6-year-old clawed hound, and she on towards her hindquarters and not on her tummy, just on her hindquarters. It's she gets like almost a blistery type of a bubble, and then it'll burst and has like a pussy liquid or bloody clear liquid, and then she loses a little bit of hair in that specific spot. Is this more of a reaction to a allergy, or would it? Do you have any ideas?
Boy, is it? It seems like it's the same area that kind of will blister up and then open and drain and then go away. And then does it come back in the same spot?
Well, it's kind of moved on her hips on both sides, and it'll start to clear up, and then it seems to come back.
And does it seem to bother her? Is she scratching at it or licking, biting at it?
She will lick at it. But not constantly.
Okay. Yeah, it almost sounds like there might be a hair follicle that's getting infected. And when that happens, it will get inflamed and kind of fill up with that fluid. And then it reaches a point where the fluid or the pus that's inside is too much. And then it'll open up and drain and then go away. And then another hair follicle nearby will kind of do the same sort of thing. So oftentimes what I recommend for those cases is just keeping that area as clean as possible and flushing. Maybe using some shampoos and shampooing a little bit more frequently than you might be doing already. That can make a difference.
And does it hurt to use peroxide on her?
No, peroxide is usually always safe, and it's a very mild antiseptic. So if there is any drainage there, that will help to keep that area clean and from turning into a full-blown infection.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Yep. Yeah.
Thanks a lot for calling. We had Pam with a question for you. She says, my cat needs grooming. Is there a natural tranquilizer so she's not so stressed out?
Oh, poor cats get so stressed out when they have to go into the vet or they have to get groomed, and I see that quite a bit. There are a couple of things that you can do. One of my favorite kind of a natural stress, natural anti-anxiety supplements is called Rescue Remedy, and that you can find really at any health food store. It's starting to pop up really everywhere. It's in a yellow bottle, and what it is, it's kind of like a homeopathic remedy. It's a flower essence blend that works on an emotional level for animals, and cats are really, really respond well to some of these homeopathic or these so-called energy medicines and really do well with the flower essences. So Rescue Remedy by Bach Flowers is one thing that you could try. Giving that to your cat maybe an hour before you have to go anywhere, great for cats that even just get stressed out by being put in the carrier or going in the car, anything like that can really take the edge off. The other thing that I really have a lot of success with using in cats for calming is catnip. Is a natural calming agent for cats. It just kind of makes them feel good, you know?
Yeah,
it makes them feel better about what's happening and what's going on. So putting some fresh catnip into the carrier with your cat or letting them chew on it a little bit before you go anywhere is great, too.
Paula in Plainfield has a question for you, Carrie. Let's go there. Paula, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a 12-year-old female Bichon Frise, and over the past year, sebaceous fatty cysts have been popping up on her skin more frequently than they used to. The vet says it's common in her breed, but they're really not kind of unsightly, and they ooze and crest over. And I'm just wondering if I can do something to help her diet-wise.
Oh, yeah. Well, what kind of food are you feeding her right now?
I'm feeding her, it's a Newman's Own brand of dry food from a health food store.
Oh, okay. And that is a very good brand of food. It's organic and it's grain-free.
Yeah.
So I think that's a wonderful food. But it might be worth trying something like what I was saying, you know, one of those dehydrated raw foods or a frozen raw food, just to see if that might make a difference. Now, what tends to happen with older animals, and you said that she's 12 years old, as their immune system starts to kind of go down, they get older, it's not as responsive. So they tend to get these cysts or they tend to get warts much more easily and they pop up. So even maybe addressing the diet, the other thing that you might want to try doing is giving her a detoxifier. And milk thistle is a great herbal detoxifier just because that might help to support her immune system as well, to help her detox any you know, chemicals or toxins that she might be dealing with that are kind of bogging down the immune system as well.
And what was that called again?
Milk thistle.
Milk thistle. Okay.
Right. Yep. It's
and
an herbal.
How much would you recommend for a 12? She's about 12 pounds.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that would be something I would check with your veterinarian to get a dosage on that. Typically, I will, you know, between 50 and 100 milligrams would probably be safe, but I would check with a veterinarian just to get the exact dosage.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thanks very much.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for calling. And let's see, Mary in Menominee is our next caller. Hi, Mary.
Hello. I wonder if the doctor could help us. Unfortunately, the body of water that we live near is in full green-blue algae bloom.
Mm.
The dogs are distressed respiratorily. Also, their skin is itching. We have five different breeds of dogs and five dogs. So each one exhibits, like, a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do to help us get through this toxic mycotoxin? That are in the air.
Oh, my goodness. Are you able to keep them out of the water and away from it?
Oh, they are never in the water.
Okay.
It's just when the wind, it's so toxic that when the wind blows in the direction of our home.
Oh, boy.
Boy, that's tough. I mean, that's one of those other things, you know, you really can't control what's going on out there in the environment beyond just limiting their exposure to it. Mm. So, you know, as much as you can, unfortunately, maybe keep them inside and control the symptoms to give them some relief if they're really being bothered by it. This might be another place where using something like milk thistle to help their body kind of detoxify. Another thing that you might want to look into using is a natural supplement called quercetin. And quercetin helps the liver also detoxify, helps to suppress the histamine response. So if your dogs are itchy, it's kind of like a natural antihistamine, so a natural form of like Benadryl or Claritin or Zyrtec, something like that might also help.
Okay. Thank you so much. Oh,
good luck.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And, that home-prepared dog and cat diets, there are... there's two books. One is by Donald Strombeck, and there's also a similarly named book by Patricia Schenck.
Yes, wonderful. So I go, the original one is the one by Donald Strombeck. That was the original edition. It came out, there is a newer edition that's by Patricia Schenck, and it's also very helpful, but I always go back to the original edition.
Okay.
Is even more comprehensive.
So the Donald Strombeck book is the one. Okay, good. Wally and Wapan. Thank you for calling. Hello. Hi.
Hello. I've got a 12-year-old unspayed yellow lab that has a uterine infection. Actually, she got it this spring, and she's getting it back again now.
Oh.
And it was called an open pimetra.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's how it's pronounced anyway.
Right, yeah.
And our vet pretty much told us it was hopeless. But we got her through one time, and then they said it would come back. We used an antibiotic named Baytril.
Yep.
So what would a holistic vet, how would you approach this?
Boy, you know, this is one of those cases, in a case like Pyometra, where I would not mess around and I would use antibiotics first line, because that can be fatal. And there are two types of Pyometra. There's an open Pyometra, which your dog had, which means that the fluid that builds up in the uterus is able to drain out, so that you have a much better chance of your animal recovering. The closed Pyometra is where the fluid is not able to drain out, and that can be a life or death situation. So you have to be very, very aggressive using the antibiotics. This might be another case, though, where you could add in, along with using the antibiotics, mm-hmm. some natural holistic supportive measures like boosting the immune system, using something like apple cider vinegar to kind of change the pH level in the body, adding that in, or doing an immune system support supplement.
Now, would that be in the food or in the...
You could do either. You could add it into the food or add it in with the water.
Mm-hmm. Oh, either way.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
All right. And then,
okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much. And the amount of that again, Carrie? Dr.?
I would do 1 teaspoon of vinegar to 1 cup of water.
So a teaspoon of vinegar to 1 cup of water. So that amount.
Yeah. And the other thing, if anybody is giving their animals antibiotics, it's always a good idea to add in probiotics as well, to kind of repopulate the GI tract with that good bacteria. So you can even do something like plain yogurt, adding that in, maybe 1 teaspoon to 1 tablespoon twice a day.
Our guest today, Dr. Carrie Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. We'll be back with her right after the news. Stay with us. Thanks so much for listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, I'm Larry Mueller. So happy to have you along today as we take a look at natural alternatives for your pet's health. We've zeroed in a bit on pet allergies, but also other health-related issues, too, with Dr. Carrie Donahue, who owns and is founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison. She works out of Madison and comes by every so often to talk with us about holistic and natural remedies. Certainly, if you have a question for her, you can call us at 800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can find some more information about her and her business at her website, which is
FullCirclePet.com.
FullCirclePet.com. Helen in Brussels has a question for you. So, Helen, we're going right to you. Thanks for calling.
Yes, hello.
What can we do for you?
I have a 12-year-old pug that has been diagnosed with cataracts. My husband went online to look up cataract surgery, and we came across a product that states they are eye drops that will dissolve the cataract over time.
Mm-hmm.
We were wondering if you've heard of anything like this, if it's safe, or does it require surgery?
Boy, there is a natural product that I use for animals that do have cataracts, and it is called, the trade name is called Can-See, that I use, and it is N-acetylcarnosine. Does that sound familiar? Is that what you might have found?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I use that quite a bit, and it works. It really works. I have been absolutely amazed. Animals, dogs I use it on, that I have treated with the Can-See or the N-acetylcarnosine that have had cataracts over time, probably over the course of a couple of months. I've seen these dogs come back in. They're seeing better. I take a look with my ophthalmoscope, and I can see those cataracts actually decreasing and going down, and it has been amazing to me.
Wow.
It really does help. I can't say it helps every dog, but it's one of those things where, you know, it's a natural product. It's not going to do any harm, so it might be worth trying.
Okay. Thank you very much, Doctor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thanks a lot for calling. And what's the name of it? It's something, I'm sure there are some people who say, wait a minute, what did she say? What was that?
Right. Yeah, the trade name is called CAN-C, and it's C-A-N-C, the letter C. And you can find it on the internet. You can find it on Amazon. I carry it actually in my clinic because mm-hmm. I use it so much, and I've had such good success with it. But the supplement itself is N-acetyl-carnosine.
Hmm. There we go. Nicole in Boulder Junction. Hi, thanks for joining us.
Hi, just calling about my German Shepherd who's 12 years old. For the last two summers, he's had itchy, dry skin mm-hmm. and some patches like in his armpits and one kind of, you know, on his belly. And he's, if we were to rub him or brush him, he just itches his feet constantly and he mm-hmm. seems uncomfortable. The other thing is his ears, too, seem to be affected as well. Mm-hmm. So what we have been giving him is Claritin. Mm-hmm. And last year when we took him to the vet, they gave us an antibiotic because they thought he had kind of a, more of a skin disease, like skin infection. Mm-hmm. So I started giving him that again because he had given us a large supply of antibiotics. So
okay,
that's what we're doing right now for him, but he's still kind of uncomfortable.
Oh, okay. So it's not complete relief for him. And that's what I found with a lot of the antihistamines that you can get, such as Benadryl, Claritin, Zyrtec, Hydroxyzine, all of those that are out there. Each one maybe works for about 20 to 30% of the dog. So a lot of times it's trial and error to find out what might work for your dog. And even if something does work, it usually doesn't give complete relief. It's kind of part of managing the symptoms. So again, I would maybe re-examine what kind of food you're feeding. He's a 12-year-old dog, so has he been on the same type of food for a while?
Yes, we're doing the Purina. I think it's like kind of a one lamb and rice, I believe.
Okay.
And we haven't changed it. We do stick with that one because if we do change it, he has trouble going to the bathroom.
Okay. Yeah. And that's a common thing too. If a dog has been eating one type of food for a long time, it's not very easy to switch. So another thing that you could add in with his regular food would be an essential fatty acid supplement. If you haven't already, like an omega-3, 6 fatty acid, something like fish oil is a natural anti-inflammatory, and that can really make a difference for animals that are itchy.
So like two capsules, just like poke a hole and squirt it in his food?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, right. And that's right. It. And most dogs do not mind the taste of it. So yeah, that would be something easy to add in.
Okay.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate the call, Nicole. And boy, we've a lot of Facebook questions too.
Yeah.
Shirley sent us a note on Facebook. Is my 18-year-old dachshund has decided he doesn't want to be touched anymore. That includes petting, bathing, brushing, etc. But he needs grooming. Mm. What, any ideas?
Boy, and you 18 wonder, years old, that is quite something for a
dachshund. He's probably arthritic.
That would be my first thought, is he might just be painful and, you know, is very, very sensitive to touching. So I would maybe look into, if not already, getting some pain medications on board. And there are some really effective ones out there, because at 18 years old, you don't want your pet to be painful. You know, you want them to be comfortable. So if he's reacting to even just being pet or being brushed, that I would take him into the vet and see if you can kind of narrow that down.
And someone else wondered if there's a natural way to eliminate fleas from the house.
Oh, yeah. There are several options for natural flea control, parasite control in the house. One of the most commonly used ones is called diatomaceous earth. And that is, it's a substance that's kind of like dirt. And what it actually does is dissolves the exoskeleton of the fleas. So you can spread that around your house. It's natural. It's safe. Some people even feed that to their pets as a natural anti-parasitic, natural dewormer. But you can put that in your house. Another product that I use is called Wonderside, and that is a cedar oil-based spray that you can use inside your house. You can use it outside in your lawn. It's completely safe for dogs and cats and really does well for flea and tick control.
Mary in New Lisbon, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Doctor.
I was wondering if you could suggest, my question is twofold. Mm-hmm. First, I've had, since Pepper was a kitten, I had always given her holistic indigo moon.
Mm-hmm.
And she has gotten really fat and doesn't move a lot. Mm-hmm. And I find she's having a lot of trouble going to the bathroom. And I'm just wondering what to switch her to that would be a little bit more healthful and, you know, helping with her bathroom problems.
Mm-hmm. Have you looked into just trying a different type of food?
Presently, I have taken her off of it.
Okay.
It took a while for her to adjust.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
But it's when they get overweight, if there's something that we could give that would help. It just seems she has a ravenous appetite all the time and definitely doesn't move as much because of her weight.
Yeah, yeah. Well, oftentimes if you can switch your cat over to a completely canned food, just increasing how much moisture they're getting in their diet, it fills them up and it's not as high of calories as the kibble or the dry food is. So that might be... What's that?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so that might be a place to start. If some cats do definitely get addicted to the dry food and it's not an easy transition, but I would try that. I would try to switch her over to a canned food, getting less calories in her. And as much as you can, get her to be more active, just playing with her, getting her to run around the house until she gets tired out, that's also going to help. So decreasing mm-hmm. calories, increasing activity as much as you can.
And then what I was concerned with when we're working, I was always concerned that the cats would be too hungry. So I leave food out 24/7. Is that a bad idea?
A lot of cats, you know, it depends on the cat. Some cats really self-regulate well. If food is out all the time, they don't overeat. Some cats tend to overeat just because they might be bored or they're looking for something to do, so they tend to graze all day. And that can lead to some problems in cats. What I see often is that it can lead into urinary tract infections because they're constantly eating. And they can also tend to be overweight. So if you're able to, just feeding one or two meals a day is going to be a lot better, and that might also help.
All right. Oh, doctor, thank you so much, and I am so thankful that you are on today. It's been a tremendous help.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Thank you.
Yes, and take care. Bye.
Bye. Appreciate your call, Mary. And, we feed twice a day. I feed our kitties twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fine.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Yeah, you know, and if you really think about the way that cats would eat in the wild and kind of... take that into account when you're feeding your cat. So a wild cat, a cougar, a lion, whatever, they're going to make a kill and they're going to gorge themselves. And then they're not going to eat for several days. So it's much more natural for a cat to eat either one or two meals a day instead of grazing constantly, which is more like what an herbivore or what a cow would do. They're constantly eating all day. It's not as natural for cats to eat that way.
We have... Lee in Green Bay up next. Hi, Lee. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you. I have a 13-year-old male cat that I just had him to the vet a few days ago. We did a full physical. He did a blood check for thyroid problems. That turned up negative. What he does is he stares off sometimes and looks a little spacey, and sometimes he'll go in circles for about a minute or two, like a dog, before it lays down, and he just kind of seems spacey. And physically, the vet said heart is good, you know, everything else, mm-hmm. said he might be getting dementia. Mm-hmm. And is there anything I could give him that might help?
Boy, yeah, you know, one of the best herbals for sort of that cognitive dysfunction that we do see a lot in older dogs and cats is ginkgo. And there is a supplement that I use, it's called Senilife, S-E-N-I-L-I-F-E, that has ginkgo in it, and it can be very, very helpful for animals that have that cognitive dysfunction where it just seems like they might be staring off in the distance, they get confused, or the circling behavior like that. That would be a supplement that I would try, or even finding something else that has ginkgo in it can really help.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Linda in Fond du Lac, your turn. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you. I have a terrier who's about 10 years old. Every fall, he suffers from some kind of allergy, seasonal allergy, that his paws get in between the pads, gets real red, and mm-hmm. he's constantly licking. And from the vet, I have used Neopredef powder,
mm-hmm.
just a white powder, and sometimes it helps, but most often not. And then I usually have to call again or take them in again, and then they prescribe a steroid.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of hate to do that, mm-hmm. but it seems to be the only thing that really helps. Do you
yeah.
have any other ideas?
Oh, boy. And I know how that goes. And sometimes using the steroids, using something like prednisone that really just suppresses the immune system is the only way that you can get relief. But there are some other things that you could try. And I would just say being very, very vigilant whenever he comes in from being outside, wiping down in between the toes. And you can even get baby wipes. Get those sensitive skin baby wipes. So you pull one of those out. You get in between the toes on the pads where those pollens or those allergens tend to kind of work their way in, get on the skin, and just really irritate. Your dog starts licking. It's that moist environment in there, and then it can turn into an infection.
Right.
So that would be one thing to do. The other thing they often recommend is doing Epsom salt soaks. Very, very soothing for the skin. And you can just put some Epsom salts in a bathtub and have him stand in there for about 10 minutes. And maybe
good
do
luck
that.
With that one.
Yeah, a couple times a week.
He doesn't want to stand in water. He hates water, but
yeah.
I'll give it a try.
Give that a try. And that can be very, very soothing for the
okay.
skin.
He might like it once he got in there.
Yeah, that's true.
If it's soothing.
Yeah, maybe it would feel good and
yeah.
he would actually stand there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely worth trying.
Okay, I will give both those ideas a try. Thank
All right.
you very much.
Yep, mm-hmm. thanks a lot for calling. And we're going to our Facebook page with, let's see, who have we got? Barbara, who has a photo of her cat. I found this on my cat. It looks like almost a blister.
Hmm.
It's not draining, and it hasn't stopped him from jumping. Just keep an eye on it, or what?
I don't know. That one I might take my cat into the veterinarian just to have them take a look at it, see if there's anything going on underneath that. It's
yeah.
really hard to see if it's raised or if it's flat.
Yeah.
I mean, you
looks
could...
Looks like it's raised.
It does look like it's a little bit raised. So, I mean, you could try some home remedies, even just kind of putting a little bit of peroxide on there or using something like a natural salve, like the calendula, chamomile salve. But if it's not getting any better, and especially if it's getting any worse, I would take him in to have it looked at.
Yeah. Karen and Menasha, hello.
Hello. See, I have a cat that has diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm spending $100 a month on insulin, which I would really like to eliminate. Is there anything natural that would help cure his diabetes or regulate his sugar level better?
Well, there are certainly things that can help regulate the sugar level in the body that can kind of decrease how much insulin you're giving. Sometimes we're not able to get animals off of insulin altogether, but certainly things that can help kind of support the pancreas, support the whole body. Is your cat on a special diabetic diet right now?
No, because I have multiple cats, but I do try to feed him, you know, more canned.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because apparently that's better for him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Getting cats off of, just making sure that the food you're feeding is grain-free, because you want really low carbohydrate levels. Carbohydrates can cause an increase in the blood sugar. So as much as you can of that, that's great. There is an herbal out there, and it's called Gymnema. It's Gymnema. It is wonderful for helping to regulate blood sugar levels in dogs, cats, and people. So if you're interested in doing that, I would talk with a holistic vet or a regular vet that's able to kind of work with you and just kind of manage what you're doing with the insulin dosage, with the diet, and maybe adding in some herbs. But there are definitely things out there that can help.
So where would you get this Gymnema from?
Well, I have it in my clinic. So it's an herbal that I prescribe to cats that are diabetic. I'm sure that you can get it over the counter, but I would want to make sure that you're working with that health professional, with a veterinarian, if you do give it.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Karen, for calling. And Vicki in Newburgh, your turn. Hi, Vic.
Hi, how are you today?
Oh, surviving my allergy, but just barely. I hope you're feeling better than I am right now.
Oh, I agree. Allergies are tough. I have a cat with the teary eyes also.
Oh.
Mm. And she's a rescue cat.
Uh-huh.
So she's probably a little closer inbred than she should have been. Mm. But my vet did the same thing. We tried the gel and such, and he looked at her again, and he said she has a very pushed-in face, and her tear ducts don't drain.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So she has the teary eyes, and they are dark. They tend to be kind of a pink tinge, and it's pretty natural. She has teary eyes. I wipe them occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate when she shakes her head, and then we have little brown spots all over, but it's nothing that is detrimental to the cat. It is just her anatomy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly the case with it with some cats too. Those tear ducts can be blocked, or for whatever way the cat's faces aren't draining like they should. So then,
correct.
Yeah, that can be a problem. Yeah.
Correct. So I just wipe her eyes, and she's very tolerant of it. And he said she's healthy and wonderful, and don't worry about it.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad she has such a good owner taking care of her. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Yeah, you as well. Thank you so much. And let's see. Let's go to Irv in Boscobel. Do you have a quick question, Irv? Hi.
Hi. Say, I have a beagle mix, and she has, ever since she's been about, maybe three. She's nine now.
Mm-hmm.
She snorts like if you were to inhale like a pig, you know?
Yeah.
She does that, and she has bouts of it sometimes the last 10, 15 minutes.
Man.
Have you heard of this before?
That's kind of like that reverse sneezing.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah, that sounds like it. Where they just get into these fits, and sometimes they just can't stop. My dog does the same thing. She's a little Boston Terrier, and when she gets really excited, when I'm about to feed her, she gets into these fits, the reverse sneezing. So sometimes even just distracting her with something else is enough to kind of snap her out of it. Now, I will say dogs that are prone to allergies are more prone to having these reverse sneezing attacks just because there is increased inflammation in the airways.
Yeah.
So there's excess mucus in there. The tissue is inflamed. So it can cause the reverse sneezing or the snorting that you might be seeing.
So there you go. Not much to be done about it, really, except, as you say, sort of distract the dog. And...
Right. Yeah, that can be helpful. Or, you know, even using some of these things that I talked about, using for allergies, like the natural antihistamines might be a place to start to see if that makes a difference. If she's having these attacks or she just can't get out of it and it's becoming more frequent.
Thank you for calling. And Dr. Carey, thank you so much. Been a wonderful 90 minutes. You'll come back and be with us again?
I will, definitely. Thank you.
Dr. Carey Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. And if you type that in on your search engine, you're going to go to her website. That'll take you right there. Or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I've got a link. It'll take you right there as well. Great to have her along. She will be back. Tomorrow we're going to learn about trout fishing, for one thing, and then also about increased lapping. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.